good afternoon. It is One Bell of the Afternoon Watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, broadcasting to you live from the Gene Bosch studio on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live to Captain Joe's people all over the world on the voiceofvashon.org. Captain O'Brien is elsewhere today, but the counselor is with me and has given me the tutorial as to how I am to continue to broadcast and then what to do at the end of the broadcast. And between the two of us, as you know, we did the broadcast for the car parade on Sunday. So between the two of us, we either have a high capacity for messing this up or an equally high capacity for getting it right. And I believe, Counselor, that we have indeed gotten it right. And he just gave me a thumbs up. My greetings today go to, but first of all, before I get into my greetings, I will remind everybody that I am still limited in my ability to talk. And so every so often I will stop and take a sip of a restorative fluid. And the restorative fluid today is warm coffee from the Black Rifle Coffee Company. I cannot talk for more than a few minutes before I have to take that little bit of a break. But everybody be patient with me, and we will not only deliver a full broadcast with much news on many different fronts, but also will be able to have me come out at the other end of our half hour together and still be able to function. My greetings today go to all of Captain Joe's people who listened or watched to the car parade, those who stopped by, and there were a number of people who stopped by and expressed their concern and their wishes to be included in my sit-reps, my situation reports. The contraction for that is sit-rep. And for those who brought and left here in the Gene Bosch studio gifts for me. And one of those gifts was a lovely book and an even lovelier note. And the book is going to be my book for today when we get to that part of the broadcast. But I am particularly grateful for all of you who stopped by, and we were able to spend some time, a little bit of time together. And I hope that I was able to reassure you that we are on course, on station, and watching properly. And we'll talk briefly about that in the binnacle list section. The binnacle list. We do have a crossing of the bar. And this is an old friend from the Coast Guard cutter Glacier. Bert DeJong was a much respected and loved and trusted friend who had worked with Fred on the Glacier reunion that we had a couple of years ago, and was on the committee for the Glacier reunion, which we're going to have in September, and to which I am fully intending to be present, to be able to speak should I be asked to speak. And so Bert unexpectedly crossed the bar 2 weeks ago. And I know that all of the people that are working on the Glacier reunion are feeling his loss, not only because of the loss of a friend and shipmate, but also because he was a great motivator when it came to putting together these particular gatherings. In my own case, I have now read the report from the PET scan. I don't know what PET stands for, but whatever it is. I've now read the report. It was a full body scan, and although I have not yet heard from the group of medical practitioners who are going to be doing the work, I have read the report myself, and I believe that I am interpreting it correctly, and that is to say that there does not appear to be any spreading from the site inside my head beyond the lymph nodes, which probably are going to have to come out, but that the rest of the body is pretty unaffected. So that means that the Arctic end is going to be treated, and I am hopeful that this week I will be able to meet with the people on the tumor committee so that we can develop a plan. That plan be submitted to me, and I decide how it's going to work, and then we work out a schedule. I'm holding off on decisions having to do with travel or commitments or other events until I know the extent of the chemicals. Am I going to get sick? I don't know the answer to that yet. To the extent of radiation, am I going to get sick again? I don't know the extent of that yet. Whatever it is, I am ready. Semper paratus. Or as my friend John on the Coast Guard Channel says, as he ends every one of his posts on the Coast Guard Channel, SP for Semper Paratus. I'm ready to get on with it. And the delays seem to be of an administrative rather than a medical nature. I remain fully of good cheer. I remain all the way up in the captain's chair, firmly ensconced therein. And I remain also fully in command. So there's some people outside the studio waiting, I think, to come in. And I just gave them a highball. So a couple of things happened during the week, and that is all I have to say for right now about my own situation on the Binnacle list. I am heartened that we're not going to have to deal with anything other than the Arctic and the Antarctic ends. The Equatorial Africa end apparently is not going to need to be treated. Enough of all of that. Let's move on. So during the week, I had, first of all, one of the things that happened was, of course, on Sunday we did the car parade, and I came into the studio, and there was a brown paper bag, and it had Captain Joe on the front of the bag in a black felt tip. And I opened up the bag, and therein was a lovely note from some island friends and the book for this week. And the book for this week is called The Raftsman, and it's a beautifully put together, produced book with wonderful illustrations, drawings, photographs, and text. And it all has to do with a raft trip that was taken in 1956 across the Atlantic. Now, I have been across the Atlantic, and I have been across the Pacific, but I always did it in a Coast Guard cutter or in somewhere along the way. We would put one of the boats in the water, and I would go out in the boat as my own coxswain often. So I looked at the book, and then I realized that this would be the book of the week. And it's called The Raftsmen by Ryan Barnett. and with illustrations by Dmitry Bondarenko. The illustrations, just the illustrations themselves, the drawings are absolutely wonderful. It's a lot of information in this book. I haven't yet had the opportunity to read any of it except the beginning of it. And the look at some of the illustrations. But I am recommending this book not only for its content, but I am looking forward to reading it myself because it came with a lovely note. Each one of the members of this particular family had written a short and pithy note of encouragement. It is this sort of thing that reminds me how fortunate I am. It is this sort of thing that tells me that there are so many people out there who are concerned, parenthetical insertion here, maybe they are concerned because they want to be invited to the party where we clear the carport and under the house, for therein lies many treasures. And I am confident that I will have that task mostly done when it is time for me to cross the bar, because now it appears as if that crossing is a ways off and that we have some good years left together. That doesn't mean that those years that we have left together aren't going to be sort of patched up from repair one. All of you who have sailed in Coast Guard ships know where repair one is and where repair three is and where repair five is, are. And so probably I'm going to be held together by some shoring timbers, collision mats, and other pieces of seaman-like equipment. But I'm ready for that. And that's a small price to pay for us to have some good years together, because we have many things yet to do, many miles yet to steam, many people to see and help, and many new friends yet to make. All of this is important to me because I want it to be important to you, that your lives will be as productive as they can be, that you continue to take care of the people for whom you are responsible and accountable, and that you do the necessary damage control and repair that you may have in your lives. Because we all come to the end of our lives with some of that yet to be done. So that's the book for this week. It comes with many thanks to Allison and Amelia and Mike, and with my looking forward to actually reading it. A couple of things on the Voice of Vashon clipboard for today. The election that is coming up is on the 4th of August this year, which, of course, is the Coast Guard's birthday. And it is in the state of Washington. It is almost completely a mail-in election. And I tell you right here that I have every faith and confidence in the integrity of the mail-in election system. It would be my preference, because I am a selfish man, and because I like to go to the polling places and visit with the people who volunteer to do that. But my feelings about that have nothing to do with my belief in the integrity of the election. The people that do this, the people in state and local government that do this, are people of the highest level of integrity. And the systems that have evolved over the years for mail-in elections are there so that more people will vote. I would always go to a polling place over mailing in, but that's not the way it's done in Washington. That's not the way it's done in a number of other places. And I weary enormously at all of this rattling around and questioning of the election integrity. So here's a good example of that. I had read a piece this morning about I believe it was in the state of New Jersey, a state for which I have great affection because I have been the captain of one ship that was homeported at Cape May, which is also where our boot camp is, and have been in and out of Cape May many, many times. Lovely long range. You get outside the breakwaters and you make a run for it. And you get on that long, long range and take it all the way into the harbor inside. So in the state of, I believe it was in the state of New Jersey, that, get this, 400 people have been found. 400. Out of an electorate in this country of millions, 400 people who were not citizens were found to have voted. Without working out the percentage of that, it tells me that even if every single state in the union and every territory in the union and every absentee ballot by our military people are counted, and in each one of those jurisdictions there are 400 people who have been found to have voted illegally, that is not nearly a percentage that barely moves the needle. I believe that when the votes are counted, that the result of that election, whatever it's for, is the right answer. And when we get to very closely contested elections, the mechanisms for counting and recounting are such that the right outcome happens. And we're putting a huge amount of money and time and effort and whining and mewling and probably some puking over this whole subject. And I'm tired of it. And I will be voting. In fact, I've got my ballot. I'm ready to put it in. And I will be fully confident that it will be A, counted, B, counted for the person and persons for whom I am voting, and that if the elections are close, that the mechanisms that are in place to resolve those close elections are accurate. I believe all of that, and Captain Joe from the captain's chair does not tell untruths to his people all over the world. So I got another one from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and one of the effects of what's going on with me in the Arctic end of my body is that now I have almost completely lost my hearing. And so this signal from the Department of Veterans Affairs reminds me, and I now remind all of you, that the Department of Veterans Affairs will help you with hearing aids. Because once we get this whole thing settled and resolved, I believe that I am going to be a customer for hearing aids, and the Department of Veterans Affairs will help me with that. I talked last week briefly about the Straits of Hormuz, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today because this whole situation is troubling me greatly. If you go on to, let's say, marine traffic, and I believe that you can go on to marine traffic without paying for it, and it will show you where all the ships in the world are. I don't think it'll tell you much more than that without paying them some money. But I have found that my investment in marine traffic has repaid me many, many times over. So if you go on to marine traffic or you go on to some other website that shows you where all the ships in the Strait of Hormuz are, if you also overlay that with the lines that show the boundaries, and you'll see that there is a piece of the strait right down the middle that is international waters. You'll see that there is a piece of it that belongs to Iran, and you'll see that there is a piece of it that belongs to Oman. On the Omani side, there is enough room to build an inbound and an outbound channel. I would imagine that all of those have to be swept for mines, and I am reminded that for as much as 15 years after World War II, the various charting agencies of the world were putting out messages saying that there were mines sighted in various parts of the world. And as I recall, one of those parts of the world at that time was Tokyo 1, the approaches to Yokohama, Yokosuka, and all the way up into Tokyo Bay. Scary stuff. But it is possible to sweep. It is possible to establish mine-free areas. And in the meantime, there are merchant ships that are being hit. There are merchant seamen that are being killed. And none of this seems to be anything to me except reactionary to what is going on the other side. I remain convinced that the Strait of Hormuz is one of those areas that is crying, begging for an international jurisdiction to establish the fairways, to establish the vessel traffic service, and so that all of the countries that border on the Persian Gulf, the Strait, the Red Sea, and all of the other waters in that part of the world would be susceptible to an international organization. We're not going to get to that, though, until we finally resolve, one way or the other, the entire conflict. Now, there has been conflict in the Middle East, starting with the Garden of Eden, since the beginning of time. And so whenever we come to some resolution, we hold no illusions that that is going to be forever. But then there's no such thing as a resolution forever. Look at the history of Europe. And yet we can, for a generation or two generations, we can guarantee the peace of a particular area if we have the resolve to do it. So I am hopeful, as always, confident that if such an international organization can be put together, that it can indeed set up a structure that will be not reactionary, because it sure looks to me like we are just reacting each to the other. And I don't see any plan. Now, I no longer hold a security clearance, and certainly I am not an expert in strategy, and I know a little bit about tactics, but I'm not an expert in any of these things. But it just appears to me, and this was brought to my attention as late as this morning. I was going through all of my sources, and I came across a stream of the chairman, General Kane, and the Secretary of Defense, Hegseth, delivering a press conference over yesterday's heavy-duty attacks on Iran. But there doesn't seem to me, anyway, an explanation to the people of this country as to what the final objective is to end it. And now our young people are starting to come home to Dover in body bags. So we want to make sure when we expend those precious lives that there is a goal, an objective, and that all of our efforts are directed toward achieving and acquiring that goal and objective and finishing. For a great example of how that could be written down, read the operations plan for the invasion of Europe with the Normandy invasion. So with that, the Panama Canal is also beginning to show some real stress, and that's because there's not enough water in Lake Gatun in particular to float the very large, the largest vessels that can now fit through the canal because of their draft. And so the Panama Canal Authority is beginning to limit the size of vessels. That's going to put some stress on the various supply chains, the ones that go through the Panama Canal. Down in the South China Sea, the squadron of Coast Guard cutters that was operating in the Middle East has now been moved to Guam. It is going to be working in particular with the Philippine Navy, and this is a great opportunity for your captain's plan for a Coast Guard cutter of the national security class to go down with those ships, because the ones that are moving out there are the 143-foot Legend class. I hope those captains and crews are all briefed that if necessary, they fight the ship. We do not need another Pueblo. We do not need another Liberty. So, parenthetical insertion here, Pueblo is still carried as an active Navy ship, even though she is in North Korea. End of parenthetical insertion. So, I am hopeful that the squadron commodore and the operational commanders are ready to back up any one of those small ships that goes into the operating area in the South China Sea, where the Chinese are operating with great enthusiasm. And that, if necessary, the captains and crews are ready to fight the ship and never give up the ship. They're going to be home ported in Guam. I think they may already be there. I'm not too sure about that yet. But I have a piece of really interesting news about the Military Sealift Command. The U.S. naval ship Kanawha has earned a presidential unit citation, and having read the story about her, richly deserved. As a holder of two presidential unit citations, my Ingham is, I know the story wherein she earned hers, and I believe that Kanawha's is richly deserved, and it is the first time of which I'm aware that any of the Sealift Command ships have been so honored. Well done to that crew and her captain. And in the Arctic, and I have here 1 minute looking at my Omega watch. In the Arctic, there is a Chinese research vessel. I've seen a photograph of her. She looks to me like she is, in fact, an electronic intercept ship, but the Chinese are calling her a research vessel, and we're calling her a research vessel. So she was chugging through the exclusive economic zone in the Arctic, and she's being tracked by our Coast Guard. I hope that we have the forces, and so far as I know, ex-IVIC, now STORIS, is still here. So it would be my hope that she gets deployed up into the Arctic, because the Chinese are making a real showing up there. Now, I see that it is time once again for me to proclaim that we have come to the end of our time together. This is your Captain Joe. All of you are in the palm of my hand. And as always, I remain with you firmly in the captain's chair, doing really, really well, and on station and watching properly.